Sweet. Well, take your Bibles and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. What I would like to communicate with you today, something that's really in my heart, is your Father, Yahweh, wants you. He wants you. Now, you can let that bounce off your head like skipping rock. Oh yeah, I want you to meditate on that thought. The Almighty God, your Father, wants you. He has pursued you. He has desired you from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The word God there means is Elohim, and it means he who willed it to be. It means, or he who takes an oath. He is the one who wills it to be. He is the one who took the oath. Before anything was, God determined and decided to do this. And what he determined and decided to do before man was brought and made, what he determined and decided to do before the stars were out, was ultimately to have man on the earth and to fellowship with them. The whole reason for the creation, and I want you to picture this, the whole reason that there is a creation was because of his preparation to have you on the earth so that he could walk and talk and love you and you could love him. He wanted children. The reason that there's air to breathe, a planet to stand on, gravity. I mean, just think of all the complications of creation. People spend an entire lifetime studying one aspect. You know, water. There's people who spend a whole life studying water and the stuff that swims around in it that you and I try to filter out with the Brita. Or that other one, Zero. You know, all these other commercials they lie to us about all the time. But I was thinking about this. I was really thinking about this. And in verse 26 of chapter 1, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Before Adam was in existence, and that's us, we are Adam, by the way. We are man. Before we ever existed, God wanted us to have dominion. He wanted to lavish us with a creation where the stars in the heavens would speak his word, where the land would be perfect, no weeds, no thorns, no death, no sorrow, just a beautiful garden. Just his one command to them was have sex and fill the earth. Now that's cool, all right? Fill the earth with people. Fill it with people so that I can love them and they can love me. And I want you to think about the most beautiful place you've ever been. I see them all the time on my computer screen. They got these beautiful pictures of all these gorgeous places. Emerald waters and beautiful mountains and sunsets and God did that just because he wanted to love you. You know, he could have been very gray about the whole thing, couldn't he? You know, instead of allowing us to see in 3D and in color that probably better than any machine can, he wanted us to have eyes that would be able to see it all. And he put it in, I mean, the air has color in it at night just because of that water and other stuff that's in it. Now, if somebody loves you, all right, when I gave Mary jewelry through the years, okay, in our marriage, and I give it to show her my love, my appreciation, how I adore her and care for her, it's a token. Do you feel that way when you look outside? Do you feel that way when you look at these trees you see all the time? Or the beautiful sky? Or the stars at night? Do you realize that God did every single one of these things just to show you his love? His care? I mean, that's very concrete, isn't it? It's very concrete. He wanted to shower us with all creation and the gifts that are in it. You know, everything that we needed to eat was there. It just keeps coming up. Fish keep swimming around. All right? We haven't run out of fish yet. You know how many people eat fish? I mean, and there are, like, the Asian countries, that's their main diet, right? As far as protein, right? Is fish. Now, I eat more meat, you know, beef and stuff. But we haven't run out of fish. We haven't run out of cows. God provided, because he put it all together. Now, this is a corrupt world. What we're looking at is the corrupt one. The one he put together to begin with was the perfect one. So every once in a while we get a hiccup. But you know what? It's still beautiful. It's still more beautiful than I could ever draw or imagine otherwise. It's prettier and more beautiful, and it provides for us everything we need, this creation, this little blue ball of a planet that we live on. It provides for us everything that we need, and it's self-propagating. That's another science that they would figure out, right? I mean, the oceans don't dry up. They evaporate. They come over the land. They dump the rain. They run off into the rivers, back into the ocean. Just for you and me. I want you to meditate on that thought for a while. I want you to meditate on how much God has lavished you with blessings, with the things that are beautiful around us, with the things that we take for granted every moment of the day. It's like being a little kid and you always know the refrigerator is full and there's no lock on the door. And it's like it magically appeared. And you have no idea that your parents worked hard to fill it. That's how we are sometimes. But you got to think about it. You got to start thinking about how much God loves you. And I just started with the creation. And he wanted this man. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted the garden eastward into Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. God planted the garden for you, for your ancestor. God did all the work. God gave dominion over this planet to us, to man. You know, when I say us, yeah, we didn't live back then, but it's still here because of you. And he's given us all of this. He gave it because he wanted a family. He wanted us to know how much that we are loved. You know, like I've done everything I can for my kids, right? I do everything I can for them. Sometimes you can do, sometimes you can't do, but they always get my best, right? And I do it because of love, not because I'm going to get paid back. That ain't happening. You ain't got enough money in the world to pay it back. But the point is, I've always done it with joy. Just like, you know, you give the people you love, you give them your with joy. It's always really blessing to give, isn't it? It's nice to get, but it's such a blessing to give. This is how God feels about this. He put that in your head so that you would understand it. And what does he want in return? To love him. To love him. To just sit there and thank him for what he's done. Appreciate it. You know? In Luke, just to show you something here, because God really did and continues to, Luke chapter 4, at the end of the genealogy, where it goes backwards from Jesus Christ all the way to Adam, it says in Luke 4:38, says, nope, wrong place. Maybe it's 5. Where did I lose the place? Luke 3. Okay, genealogy 38. Yep, thank you. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. It says, at the end of the genealogy, going all the way back to Adam, God has written in his word, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam was considered God's son, the first man. Jesus is the only begotten son of God. But Adam is the first son of God. And he lavished him with everything. And all he asked for was love and obedience and fellowship. Let's just be together. God show up in the garden and talk to him. And he expected him to be there. And when he sinned and betrayed him, he was still looking for him. And when the first thing that God did after Adam betrayed God Almighty Your son's just stabbed you in the back, gave everything you gave him to some devil. God promised him, I'm going to send a seed. I'm going to send you a savior. I'm going to send you a savior so that you can get out of this and you can choose to be with me forever. Because when, go back to Genesis chapter 4, I think it is, in verse 1, it says, and Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bared Cain, and said, I have gotten the man from the Lord. And again she bare Abel. I believe Cain and Abel were twins. But the firstborn, Cain, she thought she had the seed, the promised seed. The promised seed that God had promised that they could believe on, that would deliver them from their situation after they had fallen. Adam and Eve have the ability and have been given the privilege to believe on that coming Christ. He'll be known as the coming Christ later on in the scripture, and be with God forever like God wanted to begin with. See, which one of you would give up on a kid, your own? I don't care what goes on in life. I ain't giving up on you. I'm going to love you to the day you die, till the day I die. Everybody screws up. Have you noticed? Everybody falls short. Everybody. But you don't ever throw anybody away. You love them. You hope for them. You pray for them. You don't try to do them harm. You know, if they become real evil, you may help keep them from doing evil. You may even turn them in and say, you know what, you need to go to jail. But I'll still visit you. I'll still love you. I'll never give up on you. You know, that's the Father. That's a Father. That's love. That's the way God felt. He promised Adam and Eve that seed. And they have the ability to be there with you, with the Apostle Paul, with Isaiah, with Abraham, because God is a merciful, merciful, loving Father. And He fights for you. He wants you. He don't care what rat hole you run down. You cry out to Him, and He will be there. He longs for you in your life. He longs that He wants us to all be, you know, like a happy family. But guess what? Since the fall of man, we're not always a happy family. You know, the world... You know, it says that He took man out of the dust of the ground, right? It's the red earth. And rusk, rusk is the something to do with it, the color, right? So one guy was, I was telling George, some guy was yelling at me because I was a white guy, right? And I looked at him and I said, don't you know what the Bible says? He looked at me like I'm changing the conversation here. Because I wasn't going to respond. I said, God made, there's one race. There's one race. It's called mankind. And then he looked at me like, and then, you know, the thing, always when you hit somebody with the Bible, they either hit back or they really walk away. So that's kind of what happened. He just walked away. But think about it. Everybody else is all racked and ruined about this race thing. Like, how many races are there? God says there's one. We're all one blood. I mean, why don't we just believe that? He loves his children. There's no classes. I think that was in somebody's prayer today. You know, that no matter what, no matter where your stat in life is, God loves you. Just a thought. Everybody's got so many things that they want to believe and do and act upon that are not scriptural. I want to believe what the Word says. Period. Go to Psalm 19. When God made the heavens and the earth, you know, he said that the lights in the sky, the stars, the planets, everything were for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, right? Signs and seasons. Ah, there's a sinner. Signs and seasons. Wasn't me. I had this little speaker that I was going to play music on. Over there, the little blue thing, and I couldn't figure out how to stop the phone from ringing and play the music at the same time. And we'll figure it out, either that or I'll buy a little thing to do the job. But the point is, I wasn't going to be a sinner today. I'm thinking to myself, I yell at these people all the time, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be that guy. I ain't going to be that guy. Psalm 19. God declared, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day they utter its speech, and night unto night they show knowledge. There is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. God's word is written in the stars. When Jesus Christ was born, it was a star. The planet Jupiter, the king's star, they called it, that rose. And it rose in a certain constellation at a certain time of the year. God had all of that work, all that clockwork. He knew exactly what was coming, when it was coming, how it was coming. And he taught Daniel. And Daniel, who was the king of the astrologers in Babylon, and the Magi, to whatever, 1,000 years later, came and asked, where's the king who's going to be born of the Jews? God put that in the clock in the heavens. You want to talk about love, detail, care, concern? I'm going to even show you when he's showing up. And the word is written up there. Most people don't know how to read it. I think there's like 2 or 3 books that have been written on it. They have nice theories. That knowledge is lost for the most part. I know it's there because of what it says. But it is a lost understanding. But you do have the devil's counterfeit, the horoscopes. The devil always counterfeits everything God does, right? Night unto night, Adam could read the word and be encouraged every night. Daniel knew that Christ is coming. And it will be when this constellation and this thing lines up at a certain time. And guess what? It only happens that one time. Because it takes a lot of thousands of years for this thing to make a full turn. It's beautiful. Isaiah 40. God has been fighting for his people to learn his word, to come to an understanding of it. He's never let it be. It's never been a secret. Adam knew this. He passed it down. You know, in the book that you and I got, you know how many people died to give us this? Sacrificed themselves to give us this? Yeah, we just go to a bookstore, $30, you can buy one. God has had men and women of God do their all, sacrifice, just so that you and I could go to the store and buy one. And 45 different translations and languages on the whole earth. The word has always been available. It was before it was written, it was in the stars. It was in those prophets' mouths. You know, Enoch in the book of Jude, maybe I'll read that later on, he spoke and prophesied of the kingdom that's coming. And he was the seventh from Adam. All that knowledge, all that hope was there. You didn't learn this by mistake. You learned this because God has always sought you out from the beginning of your days. You as an individual, every single individual out there on earth. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he has been breaking his back, so to speak, day in and day out, to save all of them. And yet, just like so many that have come before us, so many have been hard-hearted and wouldn't accept it. So many, I'll just take Pharaoh himself. Ain't anybody who's seen more miracles than Pharaoh, and yet he wouldn't change. How about the people who were hanging around Jesus? How about the religious leaders that watched him? Soon as he started opening up his mouth, they wanted to kill him. Why? Because they work for the other God. God has been pursuing every single one of them. And you answered the call. You accepted this love. You came to realize that this word is truth. You proved the Lord because he wanted to be proved. He said, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a gift that there's not room enough to receive." He has always wanted to lavish his people with love, with what you need. He has never, and he will never let you down. You and I may get tricked in believing BS. You and I may get tricked in getting sidelined. The world is just, it's an amazing event. It's like a carnival, you know, of noise and lights and screaming out. It can confuse you. You come back home to God's word and what it says, because God has always, always been calling his people. I told you to go to Isaiah, didn't I? 40. I got to get there. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort you, my people, saith the Lord God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That, in other words, double meant that they were folded over, they're no longer seen. You write the sins on a piece of paper, you take your debts, you put them on a piece of paper. When those debts were paid, they folded it over and they hung it on the door of the city and they put your name on it. This debt's canceled. God canceled our sins. Cast them as far from us as the east is from the west, and remembers them no more after the judgment. Because we got to give an account. But it's going to be that way. Speak. Verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway unto our God. That's a prophecy concerning John the Baptist. And ultimately, he's going to prepare a highway to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, God's talking about it. And you know who he's talking to? A people in that day and time, and nobody's going to believe a word of it. He says to Isaiah, I'm going to give you a job, and not a single soul in your lifetime is going to change. They're not going to hear. They're going to reject you. It's going to be miserable. Jeremiah, same thing. Ezekiel, same thing. Hosea, same thing. How'd you like to be old Hosea? Remember that record? I want you to marry this one over here. The hooker. I want you to marry the hooker. She's not going to give up the job. And I want you to raise children to her. Just so my people understand. That's what you're doing to me. We're not talking pretty lives, are we? But we're talking men and women who loved God so much, it doesn't matter. You know, this God who created all things, it says here in verse 12, he's measured out the waters. Because this is the other thing you have to do. You have to keep God high. You can't let God become little in your mind. You got to keep him massive. And this is some of the verses that do this for me. He's measured out the waters in the hollow of his hand. You know, the waters on earth and the waters above earth. He measured it out in the hollow. How much water can you get in the middle of your palm? Can you wash your face with that much? It's ridiculous to try to wash your face with that much water. God took all the water that there is, and it's sitting in the palm of his hand. Of all the oceans, all the great deep, all the water that's floating around in space, and there's a lot of it, it all fits in the hollow of his little hand. And it says he meted out, he measured out the heavens with the span. Remember that? I can't do it as well as I used to. You know, it's like Spock's thing. This is the span. The measurement between your thumb and your little finger is the span. Our Father measured out the universe, existence, which we don't really know how big it is yet. Right now, they estimate it at 14 billion light years across. But I think they'll change those numbers. They always do. God measured the whole thing out between his thumb and his little finger. That's your Father. That's who loves you. That's who has lavished you with everything. He wants to provide for you everything that you will need. He just wants the love in return. He wants people to think about him instead of the lies and instead of the distractions of life. He just wants us to think about him. He wants us to look at this word he's given us, the promises that he's given us, the Lord, the Messiah that he promised us. He wants us to look at him. He wants us to accept what that Messiah has done for us so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be redeemed from the tragedy of Adam's sin, the death that he brought. He wants us to have those things. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for everybody on the earth. This is a God who is big. And he don't live within his thumb and his little finger. He's beyond my comprehension. He doesn't occupy this space. He don't fit any more than I can fit in mine. He's much bigger than any of us have ever dreamed or thought about. He is well capable of taking care of every single soul. He did that with Adam. He provided the Messiah, told him about it. With Enos, he had Enos go out and preach the gospel. In fact, just go there for a second, Jude. Jude, Revelation. Jude. Only one chapter to Jude. Verse 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, he was seventh generation from Adam, he prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God was warning people of their sins and of their iniquities and of their stand against him all the way back then, and saying the judgment is coming. 10,000 of his saints. This is going to be harsh. And when the Lord comes back, that kind of judgment, when our Lord comes back, that kind of judgment's coming upon the earth. It's still coming. But God had it spoken, the seventh guy after Adam. Adam's still alive. His word has been spoken, his warnings, don't do this, I don't want you to die forever. Stay within my blessings, I've got a future for you, I want you to be with me for all eternity. I'm sending you a Savior, trust that he has accomplished the work for you. Obey what he says. And you know how hard it is to obey, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the commandments. You want to know if you're doing the will of the Lord or not? Ask yourself those two questions. Start there. Don't worry about every stupid little detail. If you're loving like he loved, then you're walking with him. If you're loving your father more than anything else or any other idol that you would set up in your life, then you're doing it right. This isn't hard. This is love. But he requires that. He requires us to believe the salvation that he provides and not the one we want to provide for ourselves. He wants us to believe on the Messiah that he provided and accept the sacrifice that he had to make for us. We just had Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, a couple of days ago. Jesus Christ was the atonement for man's sins. And he had that word preached to his people through the Old Testament, and it was a type of what the Messiah would have to do. And our Lord's done it. He has done it. Look at John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3. Starting in verse 15. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That is to die forever. To die forever, perish. You're gone, no existence. You have the second death, ba-boom, you're done. It's like you never existed. But he wants us to have everlasting life with him. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through him, through his Son, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The person who doesn't, God is trying to save, reconcile, bring back to him those who are condemned. He is trying. He has not given up. He is a father who will not give up on a single soul. They may give up on him, but he will not give up on them. He didn't give up on me, and I wasn't worth nothing. He didn't give up on you, and you know where you were at. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That's exactly the reason they don't come. They like darkness, people. There are people who just love evil. I've known some. I think we've seen many on TV. I think we've seen many in the wars that people have. They take their fellow human beings and they roast them and toast them and hang them and chop them up and burn them. For all stupid kind of reasons, religious ones, greedy ones, power ones. You can think it up, people of that evil. That's spirit. Your everyday Joe, he's just doing his thing, minding his own business, taking care of his own stuff, moving from one thing to the other. But when it gets to that level, that kind of evil, where it's planned out and orchestrated, and people are just pawns to be used and trash to be thrown away, that's spirit. That's the other God. He don't want you to praise the Lord. He wants you to hate for any reason at all. and destroy. That spirit. God has gone out to seek and gave and sacrificed his son for every single individual, including those people. You just focus on your Father. You spread his love. You think about it. You praise him in your heart. You sing these little songs that we sing. I mean, you sing them in your soul. You sound better to yourself if you don't open up your mouth, right? So just sing in your heart to the Lord. Sing in your heart to the Lord. He deserves it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Almighty God, I'm just touching on things here. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love when he loved us, he is great in mercy." You got a problem? Go to your Father. Don't doubt that he will help you. So many are lied. You lie to yourself. You believed, I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. You were never good enough. It's never been about that. The whole focus is not on you. This thing wasn't written about you. This is about what God wants to do for you. He tells you there's none that understand. There's none that seek God. There's none that are holy. All of them are gone out of the way. That's your resume. This God is abundant in mercy. For his great love wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins. We were dead, rotting, stinking carcasses. He has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. As far as he's concerned, you're already there. You are, because you know what? Look at verse 22. "In whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." He wants to hang out with you, and he has given you that Spirit, and now you have him. The one who can't fit within the span of his hand, the creator of all things, and our Lord in you. What are you lacking? What do you need to fear? You know, we're all going to die one day, right? I mean, in this last year and a half, 2 years, I mean, there's everybody screaming about, oh, I don't want to die. I got to do everything to protect myself, right? Hey, you're supposed to come up for air, right? If you go down into the sea, you can't go too far. You got to come back up and breathe. Otherwise, you don't live, right? Well, you should do things to protect yourself. But you don't not get go swimming because, oh, I might drown. You don't drive down the hot. You don't not drive in America because I've only got 1/8 inch of rubber on these tires and I'm doing 70 miles an hour. You want to talk about something scary? You have 1/8 inch of rubber hitting the ground probably about 4 or 5 inches wide, and you're doing 70 miles an hour in a 4,000 pound piece of steel. And you're driving a foot and a half on next to the other guy. We don't think that way, right? That's a hell of a lot scarier. If you will not, but if you got somebody yelling at you, you gotta be afraid, you gotta be afraid, you gotta be afraid. If you walk through that carnival in life, guess what? You'll be afraid. It's not unreasonable to do smart things. It is unreasonable to fear when you got the knowledge of God's word, a God who loves you. And even if I die, which I will one of these days, from whatever, I don't know, doesn't matter. I know at the moment I close my eyes for the last time and take my last breath, within the twinkling of an eye, I will see my Lord face to face, and I will live forever with a new body and a new mind. And I will praise God, and the kingdom will commence and come, and I will serve my God, and eventually I'm going to get to paradise where Adam kicked us out of. So what the heck? Don't let the world run you around like a dog chasing its tail. Trust the Lord. Make him huge in your heart. Know that he has sought you out all your life. He will answer your prayers. Says that constantly throughout the scriptures. He will answer your prayer. He's answered mine. He's delivered everybody in my family from death in my lifetime. He has delivered us every time we've come to him. It's been tough. It's been challenging. It challenges you to your core sometimes, but he's never, ever let us down. He'll always be there. And let's just go to Revelation here. We're going to close here. Revelation chapter 5. I've been real encouraged to see you all here today. I was starting to wonder if this is the end of the church over this last year, in a serious way. You know, but because everything comes to an end sooner or later. But I'm very encouraged to see you all, to have fellowship with you face to face. You know, it's important. Chapter 5, Revelation. And in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, a book. That's Almighty God. He's sitting on the throne. He's got a book written within. And on the backside, seals with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. I want you to think about this. John is getting a vision. He's in the throne room of God. He's looking at God sitting on the throne. You know what's around God? You got the beast, you got the four, you got the 24 elders, you got myriads of angels, seraphim and paraphim and every other thing. It's up there. I have no idea what these people are doing up there. All right. All I know is that they are there. They are in the throne room of God. You got lightnings, you got thunders, you got whoa. And God's got the book in his hand. He's sitting on the throne. And the great angel, who's able to open it? None. The beast weren't able to open it. The 24 elders are not able to open it. The myriads of angels are not able to open it. And no man on earth is able to open it, or under the earth that's lived and died. Nothing. Remember, when Adam gave everything to the adversary, one third of his family in heaven fell, along with his man on earth. The whole family of God, it says in Ephesians, will be joined together in the future, both in heaven and on earth. They will be one in him. God's family in heaven, one third of them turned on him. There was nobody in heaven able to open the book. And there's nobody on earth. Now, I don't comprehend all of that. I just get the point. Nothing. No one. Either in spirit or in the flesh. Verse 5. John wept when he saw this. Verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, a lamb as hath been slain. This wasn't a pretty lamb. This is a lamb that's been butchered. You ever walk? Well, it used to be in my old neighborhood. You go to the butcher shop, and now the meat, the whole lamb or the whole pork, was hanging in the window. I don't know if they do that anymore. Probably not. This is what was standing in front of the throne, a lamb that's been butchered. A dead lamb, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden victuals full of odors, and which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Not just man, to God. The whole family in heaven and in earth. Jesus Christ paid for the salvation, the reconciliation of the whole family. Those beasts, those elders, whoever and whatever they do, they hang out with God all the time. They fell down and they worshiped him, because he hath redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that is in there, they heard a saying, I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him who sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives, that liveth forever and ever, Almighty God. Our Lord was God's sacrifice for our salvation. We preach the gospel to people. We tell them this is a God who wants you. He has sent his Son to save you. His sacrifice paid all your debt to God. Accept him. Accept him. Accept what he teaches and what he says. Don't be talked out of it, because it's everlasting life. And he is the one that has not only paid, I just wanted to bring that to your attention, for us here on earth, but also for the family that's in heaven. So, I love you all very, very, very much. Father, thank you for your love. Help us to magnify you in our heart, Father. Help us to understand that no matter what our day looks like, you want us. You want our fellowship. You want our love. And you want to lavish us with that, the blessings that you have for us. Not only in this very short life, Father, but also throughout all eternity. You're going to show the beauty of all the things that you have prepared for your people. And it says in the Word, Father, that it's not even possible, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things that you have prepared for us that love you. So I love you and praise you, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you also, my God, please take care of especially Doug this day. Deliver him from his pain. And I ask you also to please deliver Mimi from the cancer. And David, my God, give him back his mind so he can be with his family. Thank you for all those that are hurting, Father. But I thank you for your love surrounding each and every one. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.